The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, there's talk of including video gamers in future Olympics. They might add video gamers to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, Olympic gamers would be treated like all other athletes, except they'd be tested for performance-enhancing ramen.
This is Alice Cooper, the original Technotard, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. We are the show that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet. I just have to say, you know, when it comes to products that we get to review, Justin steps up a notch. And because when there's something he really wants to
look, go-getter.
Oh my God. He just goes over the top. When we were talking to Cobra and we've looked at some of their products, and then they said, well, would you like to take a look at our radar detector? Justin
and I'm
was
like, yeah,
over the moon. And, you know, I like it because I like seeing that energy and that enthusiasm, especially from him when it comes to tech. But when he steps it up a notch, it makes it even more fun because, I mean, he's really, you know, you've got kind of that young game kind of, I want to play games. I want to have this experience. And gaming, let's face it, it's changed. For those that,
whole new industry.
Oh my God, it's huge. And you think about those that played, you know, solitaire. And that's all they've ever played. They thought that's what video gaming was. And you know, then they found out about this little game called Doom. And then, you know, they just kept moving up the ranks. Well, gaming today is not only a money making, it's athletic, I want to say, because you compete for
esports.
For esports. But it's also just a great way to connect with people around the world.
And it's a good form of entertainment as well. You know, I've mentioned in the past that I've watched a video game streamer. I mentioned on the show Stone Mountain 64. He's a professional gamer. That's what he is. And through Stone Mountain, I got to be introduced to Timmy, who goes by Darkness429 on Facebook. And I got to be honest. I mean, he plays Fortnite, which is one of like the biggest game in the world right now. And he plays it all the time. And pretty much when I am working, I'm usually having Tim stream on my monitor on the side. So it's kind of in the background. And I just really enjoy watching him. And like you mentioned, you know, gaming has really changed. It's no longer, you know, some dorks that are sitting in their mom's basement playing games. I mean, these guys are making money. And recently, the one of the best streamers in the world goes by Ninja, was on CNBC talking about how he was pulling in like $500,000 a month, which is insane.
That's crazy.
And it's because he's got, you know, millions of subscribers that they literally tune in just to watch him play a game.
I got to tell you, it was funny when he was on Family Feud. And I had heard about him, but I didn't know what he looked like. When Steve Harvey asked him, you know, oh, what do you do? And he says, I'm a gamer. And he looked at him, he said, like cards? I think he said something like that. He said, video games. The look on his face was like, I don't get it.
Steve Harvey has that look a lot of times.
A lot of people don't get it. But again, you know, you watching this at your work, I think it would be akin to watching your favorite sports player. If you have the game of golf, you know, the game of football, the game of basketball, baseball, whatever sport it is, everybody has their favorite team, their favorite player, and you have it on the background. It's entertaining.
Absolutely. And mine right now, again, is it goes between Stone Mountain. But honestly, I really follow Tim because I really like Tim's personality. And we actually have Tim with us right now in studio. Tim, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here. So I want to tell the folks at home again, you know, what you do, how you got into it. Where are you from, by the way?
Yeah, no, I'm based out of the Port St. Lucie area in Florida.
Okay. All right. And you game pretty much, it's Monday through Friday, even throw some Saturday streams in there too, but you pretty much game 8 hours a day, right?
Yeah. So I do two 4-hour blocks Monday through Friday. When I was on Twitch before I was on Facebook, and we'll talk about this later, I was pulling in 12-hour days.
And that was
6 to 7 days a week. So I've actually gotten to take a little bit of time back from streaming. But yeah, I mean, it's a full-time job.
I can imagine generations from now, You're going to be, you know, telling the grandkids, I used to work 12-hour days playing Fortnite.
Exactly. Back in my day, I worked all the time playing video games. Yeah.
So when did you start streaming?
Yeah, so I started streaming. I did a little bit of streaming in college back when Twitch had just kind of switched from Justin TV to Twitch. Yeah. I had found out about it via some friends. They're like, it's kind of like YouTube, but it's live and people are talking in a chat room. I'm like, oh, that's neat. You know, I've got a little bit of downtime. I've got a little time off work and off from studies. Let's check this out. So I started doing a little bit there. But when I really started doing it was in February of 2014. I started playing the Titanfall beta on Twitch. And so that kind of started my Twitch career, if you will. And so mm-hmm. I was going to school full time. I was going to be a physician's assistant. I was working part time at Best Buy. And this was kind of just like a hobby. I never thought I could make money doing this. I just wanted to find an outlet for me to kind of just get away from all the crap that was going on. My wife and sure. I had just moved from Gainesville at the University of Florida, moved down to South Florida for her job. So I didn't know anyone, was kind of depressed. And so streaming for me was just an outlet. It was giving me an opportunity to share my gaming experience with the world, even though like no one watched. But it just kind of just gave me that outlet. And some people would come in and I would be able to talk to them. And that was really it. And so I started doing that more and more. And it kind of just exploded and I was making money. And it got to a point where I had to make a decision of do I quit my job, my part-time job, or do I stop streaming? Well, I quit my part-time job because I was kind of making the exact same amount of money I was making at Best Buy. And I didn't like Best Buy working at the company. It's a great company. It's a lot of fun to go shop there, but I did not like working for them. I left that job and continued streaming. And then it got to a point where, well, do I become a physician's assistant or do I be a full-time gamer? Sure. And so in October of 2014, I made the decision to put a break on my studies and start doing this full-time gaming thing. And
what did your parents think?
My mom thought I was crazy. My mom thought I was absolutely insane. She's like, you know, you still need to go to school. Like, this is cool that you're getting all these opportunities, but you really should do this. And my wife was super supportive. She was
awesome.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you said you were married. I'm thinking, yeah, how do you convince that? That's the one I would be thinking about.
Yeah, so like telling my wife about this and like coming up with these ideas, like she knew I was depressed working for Best Buy. She knew, like she would hear about just how much I hated the job. And so anything was better than what I was already doing at Best Buy. So we both came to the decision. We sat down. It was the summer of 2014. I will never forget this. We sat down and we talked about it. And she's like, you know what? We'll go through the summer. And if it doesn't grow, if you're not making any more money, then that's fine. You'll have to go back, find something different.
Yeah. Give you an opportunity to try it.
Yeah, exactly. And so here I am. It's 2018 and I'm still here. So
that's awesome.
As a gamer, what would you say was your progress up the ranks as far as games? I mean, did you start like a lot of us did, maybe, you know, Wolfenstein or Doom and kind of move up way?
Yeah, I mean,
he's not that old, Andy.
No, I mean, like, there's honestly, I mean, I remember playing Duke Nukem 3D. So, I'm 27, so I mean, I still remember the classics. I mean, I have older uncles who are like siblings to me, and they grew up playing the older games. But for me, there's not a time in my life where I cannot remember playing a video game. Like from the earliest memories, I remember playing Super Mario Brothers on the NES, N64, and GoldenEye. So I mean, like there's a lot of moments in my life that I can remember playing a game. Shooters have always been just something that's near and dear to my heart. I loved Halo, the Halo series, the Battlefield series is huge for me. Shooters for me have always been kind of just my go-to genre.
Now, the next thing I was going to ask, and people are probably wondering, you know, wow, he plays games 8 to 10 to 12-hour days. How do you do it? How can you do that and still remain healthy? I mean, do you do you take breaks? Do you have a desk that moves? I mean...
Yeah, so, I mean, like, there was definitely a point in my life where I wasn't being healthy, and I feel like a lot of streamers forget to be healthy while you're doing this because you get so caught up in the moment. You get caught up in the moment that is you've got a lot of people watching you. And when that happens, when you have a lot of people watching you, it's a very volatile situation you find yourself in because the ecosystem that is a live stream is it's on-demand content. You can switch it on and off. You can go to someone else. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be able to retain those people. So you don't want to leave your desk. You don't want to go take your bathroom break. You don't want to eat food. So you just want to stay and continue doing it. So I started developing these very unhealthy habits and I really had to check myself. I'm like, okay, I'm not happy with the way I look. I'm having going up and down stairs was not an easy thing.
Legs going numb.
Yeah. You know, like I was like, oh my gosh, like I just did like walked a mile and I feel like I ran 20. So like I really had to like check myself. And so, yeah, I have like a, I have an uplift desk. So it's an ergonomic desk. It goes up and down. I've got a really nice chair from Human Scale that is very healthy. Like it definitely supports me in the areas that I need to be supported in. Mm-hmm. Just now going to the gym, like this is something that we can talk about a little bit later, is just like now being on Facebook, I have the opportunity to go to the gym. To have those opportunities to just.
So, do you go in the morning before you start streaming?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym to make sure that I'm on, that I'm ready to go by 8 a.m. to start streaming.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
well, that's good. That's good that you've made that decision and you checked yourself and you know you're back into healthy because yeah, that's what really counts.
Yeah, but it's so scary to hear some of these stories of streamers that end up going in for like they have a heart attack and they have to go in and get like bypass surgery or mm-hmm. you know that they're extremely overweight and. And so it's just like that's the one thing that is going to happen next is that someone's going to end up dying on a live stream for streamers to go, oh, my gosh, like I really need to take care of myself. Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're sweating a lot. Yeah, look at your color.
Yeah. And like you hear about these kids that are like doing like they're at internet cafes in China and yep. they do these 40-hour long gaming sessions and then they end up dying. And it's like. Yeah. 24-hour streams aren't healthy, guys. You don't need to do them every week or, you know, like these.
Yeah,
these
maybe once for marathon charity, streams. You know.
Well, yeah, I know exactly. even on the eyes, depending on your monitor, again, that's going to make a big difference, too. And that's why even some of the companies that put out, you know, eye drops are coming out with drops made specifically for those that are in front of screens all the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And we talked a little bit off before we started doing the show that you wear Gunner glasses, which are basically a yellow tinted glass. They look like, you know, like shooter's glasses.
Most definitely. Yeah. And the whole idea is they filter out the excess ultraviolet blue light that is emitted by your screen that causes eye strain. And that's all they do.
Yeah.
And it's a very simplistic concept and they're amazing.
Now, when it comes to, you know, the progress, we talked about games. Now, the technology, what was kind of the groundbreaking technology for you and others to really start doing the video game streaming? What made it possible? Was it the game itself? Was it the video technology? What kind of was that big movement?
I think it was really just the software that makes it it gives the streamer the ability to actually take your content and put it up on the internet. Like, so you have Adobe Premiere or Sony Vegas and those are used for creating VODs and you can upload those to YouTube and that's very simplistic, but being able to use a piece of software that can encode and upload to a server that then is being able to be viewed by people, that was the hardest part. So having software like OBS and XSplit were huge. And when those became more available and as they were, the kinks were ironed out and just it was very easy for someone to download and install. That's when it made streaming very accessible to a lot of people.
Are a lot of the gamers using OBS Studio? Are they doing that?
Yeah, OBS Studio is, well, it's free, you know, like, and that's the big thing is that it's mm-hmm. it's openware. It's available to everyone. XSplit is also, it's a good one. It's just, it has a subscription fee. But I feel like that's more so for it's streamers for dummies, if you will. Like, it's a streaming software for dummies. It's very foolproof. It literally walks you, it holds your hand, it says here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. Mm-hmm. Whereas OBS, it has like plugins that you can put in. It allows you to really tinker with the insides, if you will. So I really like OBS Studios, and it's been really cool to see it evolve through the past 4 or 5 years.
Awesome. Now I want to tell you, you mentioned you started on Twitch, you're now on Facebook.
Yeah.
What was this whole deal about this? I mean, Facebook actually approached you and a couple other streamers a while back and said, hey, come game with us.
Yeah,
What was that all about?
Yeah, so this was I've been streaming on Twitch since February of 2014. Fast forward to November of 2017, excuse me. And Facebook sent me an email, and I honestly thought it was a joke when I got an email, and it was from Facebook, and they said, hey, we'd love to sit down with you. This is from their Facebook gaming division. I was like, who the heck are these guys? but I've learned in this industry that any and all opportunities you should at least check out.
Yeah.
And so I sat down with the guys at Facebook gaming, and they gave me the whole spiel, and they said, hey, you know, we're starting our own streaming platform. We love what you're doing. We'd love for you to be a part of it. Here is what's going to happen. And so, you know, when the world's largest social media platform comes to you and says, hey, we want to take your content, your brand, We want to push it out in front of a lot of people. You know, when they say that they have 1 billion concurrent users a day, even a small percentage of those users that could find your content is huge.
Yeah, that absolutely.
That is massive. And that is an opportunity that I just did not have on Twitch. And that's the one thing that Twitch has an issue with right now is their ability to acquire new users and not just give those users to the top 1%. The people that, and that's just how Twitch works. It's not algorithmic based. It's all based on metrics. It's who has the most views. They're at the top. And then people just end up just flowing to them because that's just the natural progression of Twitch.
Yeah. So if you're starting out brand new on Twitch, you're just going to be buried amongst hundreds of, if not thousands of other streamers. So it's very hard for you to get anywhere.
Exactly. And that's how Twitch works. And so the conversation with Facebook, it was pretty much that. It was like, we are going to help grow your channel and help get your content out in front. And like, you know what? Like, things were good on Twitch. Like, I want to roll back and say, like, what I had on Twitch was amazing. I had 168,000 followers. I was getting around 1,000 to 2,000 concurrent viewers. I had 2,000 subscribers. Like, things were good, but it wasn't, I felt stagnant. I felt like I could.
How long
did
it take you to get those?
I mean, it took me 3.5 years, you know, to get there. Mm-hmm. And so like I was happy, but I wanted to do more. And that's every content creator wants the ability to do more. They want to be able to have that ability to really get out there and shine. And that's what Facebook was offering. And I couldn't say no. Like, my wife and I sat down and it was, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And if I take it and in a year, I see that this thing has blown up and it's the next new hotness and I could have been a part of that and I didn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be kicking myself in the butt for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had to take a leap of faith. I had to trust Facebook Gaming and I had to trust that they were going to keep their word. And 3 months later, I can say it's the best thing I've ever done.
What is your current? I mean, you said it's been 3 months on Facebook and you're already at over 100,000 followers on Facebook.
So we're at 115,000 now.
Within 3 months, and it took you 3.5 years to get that on Twitch.
Yeah.
Well, I think the platform, again, you got to look at the platform. Not everybody is going to Twitch, but come on, the masses.
Everyone, you can go into your local grocery store. You can walk up and down the aisles and you can ask someone if they have a Facebook. 9 out of 10 are going to say yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But if you do the exact same thing and ask them if they know what Twitch is or if they have a Twitch account or do they watch a Twitch streamer, they're going to say, well, what the heck is Twitch?
Yeah, Twitch is trying to really reach out. And they're doing different things. They just recently did another a marathon of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood to celebrate the anniversary. Yeah. So they're really trying to say, we need to branch out and reach all forms of media. But, and, you know, gaming has been kind of, I think, the center of what they've done.
Right. And that honestly, I think that's kind of burned them, is that their core pillar is gaming.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, now they're trying to branch out to all these other avenues and it's kind of burning them. It's kind of burning their user base because they're like, well, I can't associate myself with Mr. Rogers, or I can't associate myself with this cooking show or whatever, like, because they come there for gaming. People don't come to Facebook necessarily for gaming content. But the way that Facebook's algorithms and whatnot work, they know that, okay, you like gaming. Let me show you a live streamer and see see if you like it. And that's the coolest thing is, like, I have had someone watching a woodcutting video.
Right.
And then they get shown my live stream after that. And they're like, oh, wow, this is really cool. I don't know how I got here, but I'm really enjoying your content. And I'm gonna continue to watch. So it's really neat how they are acquiring users and bringing them over into the gaming space, whereas Twitch is having that issue where they're not, their user acquisition is suffering. And so you have all these people that are going to Twitch to live stream. So you have all of these fish in this pond, and they're not getting fed. It's just the bigger guys are getting all the news.
Now I've worked in personality radio for 30 years, and the key is personality, and that's got to come through on the radio.
Huge.
The same for, I think, video gamers and streaming video gamers and streaming gaming, because, you know, people could come and watch somebody sitting in the corner with their screen behind them. The technology is great. But if they're just not animated, they're not into the game, they're not responding to the users, people aren't going to be excited about it. But the fact is, Tim, what I've heard about, you know, what you do on your stream, you really engage the viewer to really want to see more. And find out, oh, what's he going to say next? or what's going to happen next. That's what, absolutely, you know, it's all about, personality media.
Yeah. And so when it comes to live streaming, there's three different types of content creators, really, at the end of the day. You've got one content creator that is really, really good at the game. So like your esports guys. So if you go to Twitch and you look at the League of Legends, usually their top streamers are going to be the esports pros. These are the guys who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year playing the game. So people want to watch them to learn how to get better. But they usually have really, really bad personalities because they don't really know how to engage an audience. They just know how to play their game. Yeah. Then you have a second personality on that is like another content creator personality that is someone who is really, really energetic, has an amazing personality. Sometimes they have a satire. They have this alternate personality, like a Dr. Disrespect.
Or, yeah, I was going to say, Dr. Disrespect is exactly so like, who I was thinking so, of.
You know, and there's a couple other people who have taken on these personas that are really, really entertaining. They're funny because they're just so out of this world, someone that you would not run into on your day-to-day business. And then you have the third personality that is kind of a mixture of both. You have someone who's very engaging, that's also really good at the game as well. And so
that's
they can
you.
Take, yeah, like I like to think that I'm good at video games, and I've always tried really, really hard to be as engaging as possible. And even like when I get up to 5, 6, 7, 9, 10,000 viewers, like I'm trying really, really hard to engage with everyone that's in there. It's not easy, it's difficult. But I feel like if you as a streamer can give your audience a memorable experience, when you can just ask John how his day was and, oh, is your birthday? Happy birthday. That is a moment that they will remember. They're going to tell their friends. Their friends are going to come check that out, have that experience. And it's just going to be this waterfall effect where it snowballs and it just more and more people want to come and be involved.
You get a lot of people that want to play against you as well, don't you?
Yeah, I have a lot of people that want to play with me or against me. I mean, and they just want to have that experience of just being a part of the content or being a part of that oh, wow moment. And it's hard. It's really difficult when you get 20 to 30 to 40 messages a day of like, hey, I would like to play with you.
Yeah.
It's
and
rough.
When I first started watching you, I agree with you that it was a moment when I actually had commented on something in the chat and you actually responded to it. And I was like, wow, that's cool. This guy just responded to my comment. It made me feel good. You know, it made me want to stick around and listen more. And now I've just become kind of addicted to watching your streams because you are very entertaining and you just are good at the game.
It's I don't want to say it's a psychology thing, but it's a part of making viewers feel like they're a part of a group, you know? And that's a community building exercise. And that's something that I've always been proud of is building a community. Yeah. And even going from Twitch to Facebook and bringing that core community with me, it was a very humbling experience to know that these people enjoy my personality, me, Tim, so much that they will transverse platforms and go elsewhere because they love who I am. And that's a really, it's a really exciting experience because like I'm just a dude. I'm just a guy playing video games on the internet.
Yeah, that with the chat, you know, you do have like sometimes 4 to 6 to even, you know, 8,000 people, I think at one point watching you. The chat gets a little difficult, like you said, to interact with people. So you have moderators in your chat that are basically working on your behalf, trying to answer questions for people. Mostly the same question is always asked, what game is this? Even though it says right in your description. So your moderators are people that you have chosen, right? You choose your moderators and they help you out. They don't get paid as far as I know, but they just help out because they just enjoy the content, right?
Yeah. They're just awesome community members that just know me. They know my brand. They've heard me answer the questions so many times that they can then answer those questions. At some point I would love to be able to do a moderator day and like all pros, like any subs and donations that come in, those go to moderators. Like that's something that I do want to do that. I know that
all other
broadcasters have done. I mean, just as a thank you. I mean, like I've done in the past where like Christmas gift, like I've done like a big Christmas gift, you know, to all the subs or to all the moderators and stuff, just like as a way to just say thank you because they do like they don't get anything in return. But they do bust their butt and sometimes they kind of become the people that get the brunt force of people's anger and not just me. So it is a really cool thing to have those people be willing to help me out on a daily basis.
Now, I'm wondering, you know, the hottest games that are out right now that we hear about, you know, PUBG, Players Unknown Battleground, you've got Fortnite, you've got Sea of Thieves. How do you determine what is going to be the game you feel like playing? Do you get, Do you get support from some of the different developers, or is this just a matter of, hey, I'm going to try it? And when do you decide to stream it? Because obviously you want to get your hands on it and start playing it before you go ahead and get into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like when it comes to like picking the games, it's just really something that looks awesome to me, something that I want to sink my teeth into. Sometimes they, like our developers that are like, hey, like here's a key to our game. We'd love for you to try it out, you know, things like that. But for the
most
part,
it's a good promotion for them.
Oh, it's a huge promotion. Yeah. You know, it's free advertisement at that point for them. Yeah. And so like it's nothing to them giving away a key. Like they have hundreds, if not thousands, of these keys that they can give out. So for me, it's like God of War. Like I just started streaming God of War. Yeah. And for me, mm-hmm. like that's just a game that I want to play. And hopefully the viewers are engaging and they enjoy it as well. And sometimes there's games like Sea of Thieves, unfortunately, doesn't do well for my community. It's not full of action, so it's hard for their attention. Like their attention just goes elsewhere.
It's still funny. It's still funny though to listen between you and Goth when you play. Oh,
it's hilarious. Like I love that banter. For me, it's just Goth is a really good friend of mine.
Yar, though.
But yeah, so we can be pirates and that's fun. But viewers don't like that as much. So it's like it's a weird balancing act of finding games that do well for the community that are also fun for me as well.
Have you gone through the process of basically unwrapping a game, installing it, and saying, well, let's see what we got here? Done that?
I mean, like blind playthroughs are awesome. Like God of War, like yesterday, I started it up from the main menu, said, here we go, and like got to experience that from start to finish. So, I mean, even like Fortnite, when I started streaming that on Twitch, like my first game of Fortnite was broadcasted on Twitch. Like I think that those experiences of watching someone fail and watching them have those like, oh crap, I can't believe I made that mistake moment is really cool for viewers as well. So like I tried not to do things offline. I try to share all those moments online.
Nice.
Is it possible that you would be able to find that video of your very first Fortnite and repost it back up on social media and say, look at it?
Yeah, I might be able to. Like I can. I remember my first death in Fortnite. I walked onto a trap. Like it was right there, like on the floor. Like me now would probably like just absolutely laugh my butt off watching me from then do that. But yeah, like I'm sure it's there.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we'll continue our discussion. We're going to find out more about the decision to stream and some of the hardware that's really needed when it comes to, you know, being able to game in today's world.
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TechTalkers or at Tech Talk Radio on Twitter. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, this is comedian Kathleen Madigan, and you're listening to Justin and Andy on Tech Talk Radio, something I will never be listening to because I hate technology. But for those of you that do, these are your guys.
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Artard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. We are here with Tim, a.k.a. Darkness429, who is a professional video gamer, content creator on Facebook.
And, you know, this is for anybody that's listening that maybe is a little older that doesn't understand video gaming stuff, this is a real business. And it really is. It's a media empire that is growing. And it's just a way that people are finding a great way to relax, learn about games. And that's kind of what we're doing, talking with Tim today about exactly, you know, how he got into it and, mm-hmm. you know, the technology behind it, which, you know, makes us really want to ask the question, platforms. We hear a lot of people, they'll game on PS4, they'll game on Switch, they'll game on, you know, the Xbox One S. And what is the preferred method for gamers on in streaming, kind of streaming competitions?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of people that play primarily on PC. There's also people that have done very, very well just gaming on console. At the end of the day, it comes down to just personal preference, how you enjoy playing your video game. More and more people they migrate to PC just because of the versatility. There's just so many more games to play. There's a lot mm-hmm. of indie titles that only come out on PC via Steam. Right. So for content reasons, because they want to be able to showcase these new games that are coming out, potentially to have this large explosion of viewers because it's the new game and only you might have access to it for that one day. More streamers tend to play on PC, but at the end of the day, like if you're comfortable playing on PlayStation, you're comfortable playing on Xbox, then that's just how you're going to do well showcasing that type of content.
I know this past weekend, I think it was Microsoft was doing PlayerUnknown Battleground, like a free weekend for people who've never done it, trying to get more people into it. And the thing is, I'm not a console gamer. I can't for some reason, I just cannot work it to get into the console. I'm a PC gamer if I'm going to do it. So I just kind of let it go. It was like, no biggie. If they did a PC, I would be into it.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, my thumbs are stupid. I cannot hold a controller to save my life. My hands get crampy, and I have terrible aim. I just, like, I love the precision of a mouse. Like, it just is what feels natural to me.
Now, speaking of the PC, I got to know personally, and I believe there is a video on your Facebook page that has a kind of a setup walkthrough. But for our listeners, can you kind of tell them, what is your setup like? You have two PCs, actually, right?
Yeah. So I have a gaming PC and a streaming PC. And so the whole reason for doing that is to offload the encoding onto another PC so that all the strain and all that effort is not affecting my gameplay. And so to have a two PC setup is really preferred for some streamers. Now, there are some people they'll buy a 12-core CPU and they'll do all this work to keep it all
within one.
They try to keep it all compressed into one setup, but for me, like, I like having the two PC setups. I don't have to do those crazy kinds of one PC setups. I have six monitors, which for some people, for some people, it's silly. But for me, like, I try to be the best person that I can be, and I try to be. I really love multitasking. I love being able to look at my OBS setup and being able to look at chat and my email and Twitter. And all this stuff that's going on, I feel like that makes me the best streamer that I can be. It makes me very efficient. So some people think that's silly, but for me, it works.
One thing that I really like about yours, and you've talked about this on your streams, is you have it just adds to your content. But you have I think it's called Stream Deck.
Yeah. So it's called Stream Deck. It is a piece of hardware from Elgato. Which is a German company. They're based in Germany. They have an office in San Francisco. But it's literally just a numpad, but it's customizable LED screens, and you can their software ties it in. You can turn hotkeys. You can control OBS, XSplit. It ties into the Twitch API. I have one set up for soundboards. So I actually run two of them. I have one connected to my gaming PC and one connected to my streaming PC. So the one for the streaming PC controls OBS scenes. It controls my win counter for Fortnite. The one connected to my gaming PC launches.
And these are all overlays that you put on your stream so people can, like, see things. Like you said, a win count, you have it down there. You press a button, it adds a number to it.
Correct. Yeah. And so the Stream Deck is just one of the pieces that helps make my stream look better than others. Like, and that's the whole thing with the streaming game is you're trying to innovate. You're trying to find new ways to interact with your chat and make it attractive so they want to keep coming back. And so Elgato makes some amazing hardware. Their capture card is what it runs in my streaming PC and my gaming PC. So that's how I'm able to play, like, my PlayStation 4. I actually run that into the capture card that's running in my PC, and I bring up their software, which I can play on my gaming monitor. They just rolled out a new 4K capture card that also captures 1440p. I run at a 1440p resolution at 144 hertz. So that capture card can run that. And so, yeah, Elgato has been an amazing.
Yeah, they made TV capture cards for quite a while.
They did.
They were cutting edge.
Yeah, yeah. And so
I work in the television industry. We have those all around.
Yeah, Elgato's been fantastic. Like, they were kind of caught up in the console. As far as, like, video game streaming, they were caught up in the console capturing because that made more sense. Mm-hmm. They've just now really started to get into these internal capture cards for higher end stream setups. So it's been great.
Now, what about
a really great partnership?
As a competitive gamer, professional gamer, obviously your interfaces are going to be very important: keyboard, mouse, et cetera. What did you kind of elect to go with on that? I had somebody the other day asked, "What is a good gaming mouse to get?" And I kind of went with SteelSeries, but I know there's many different brands that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to personal preference. I have a really good friend who works at Logitech, so he sent me a bunch of gear. I've been using Logitech peripherals. I've used SteelSeries peripherals in the past. A lot of people swear by Corsair keyboards. Like, they love the Cherry switches that Corsair uses. Logitech has their own switch that they've created. Razer has created their own switch. I don't like Razer switches as much in keyboards, but some people swear by Razer mice. And so it really comes down to, unfortunately, you have to kind of just test drive these and play around with them and see which ones work best for you.
One of my first gaming mice was the Razer Boom Slang. And I loved it just because it had the best name.
That's just a cool name.
the Boom Slang. That's awesome.
Yeah, personally, I have the SteelSeries mechanical keyboard. And that's one big thing is the difference between a mechanical keyboard and going with, well, obviously just an electric keyboard or a non-mechanical. I used to go with those cheap, you know, ones back in the day, and then I got the chance to actually play with a mechanical keyboard, and it makes a huge difference in the quality and the feel. I mean, you feel that tactile response. You know, you can just feel the key being pressed, and it's really nice. So yours is a Logitech. It's a mechanical, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's a Logitech Pro. So it's a it's actually a 10 keyless. So it doesn't have the numpad. So it actually stops after the directional buttons on the right. Wow. So it's a smaller form factor. It's really just designed for gaming. So you have more room on your desk. So I love it. And I use the Logitech G900, which is a wireless mouse, but it can also be wired as well. So
I have that one too. Love it.
Yeah. Great mouse. I have large hands. I can palm a basketball. And so trying to find a mouse that fits well for my gigantic hand is really frustrating, because I've had a bunch of mice that feel like toys. Yeah. To me. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like, so the 900, like, it has a good ergonomic feel to it. It really fits the palm of my hand. So
now I have to ask, is your wife a gamer? Does she play? She doesn't play at all.
No. My wife did not grow up playing video games. So for her, this gaming world is very different to her. Like, I just now started getting her to play the Switch.
Right.
She really
enjoys.
I have
a Switch, yeah.
She loves Mario Odyssey and Mario Kart Racing. Like, for her, that is a ton of fun. She loves puzzle games. So I got her to play Unraveled, which is an EA title that came out a couple years ago. She loved Yarny. She really loved the whole story. So like puzzle games and stuff for her are a ton of fun. Trying to get her to play a competitive multiplayer shooter is like trying to get her to speak Latin backwards while driving a car blindfolded. It's just like, it's very difficult. I'm serious. Yeah. Like,
nice analogy.
I remember her trying to play Titanfall for the first time and like watching her like, She would move the mouse and then she would move the keyboard. Yeah, it's just like, if you don't grow up in that space and you don't have that muscle memory and like your brain is wired completely different when it comes to video games than it is anything else.
I tried to get my wife to play Call of Duty, and I remember after about 15 minutes, she had to go lay down because she was feeling sick. That's like dizzy. Oh, not good.
And so it's just like, it's funny to see, like, for me, I've played video games my entire life, and for her, she's never touched one. And so to watch those two worlds kind of collide and intersect and try to teach her, it was a very interesting experience. But getting her to play the Switch has been awesome. Like, so we've been like, we sit on the couch and we'll play Mario Kart Racing together.
You have two Switches?
No, we just use the
Switch. Oh, I just see. Yeah, you just use the one. Yeah. I love my Switch. I think it's probably one of the best consoles of all time. And, you know, I played. I mean, I've got the Zelda and, you know, the Mario, of course. But I've been actually putting most of my hours into a little 2D game called Stardew Valley.
Yeah, Stardew Valley is awesome. That. It's like it's 2D Minecraft.
Yeah, basically.
A ton of fun.
Now, do you, when it comes to, you know, your PC, is this something you built yourself? Or did you say, okay, I'm going to go with a Dell or a, you know, a Black Ops or Bell. Whatever?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Don't mention Dell or
D-word. Alienware, I actually know the original founder of Alienware, Kevin, who now owns Origin PC. So I know those guys. But for me, I've always been someone who loves building computers for as long as I can remember. I remember my dad bringing home old computers that were just junkers, and I would like take parts and I would throw them together and try new builds and see what would work. So I've always built my gaming PC, but recently a company called Zydax came to me and they said, hey, we'd love to sponsor you with a build. And so they brought me. So I actually got a CPU from Intel. I got one of their 7900X series, their i9 cores. Their i9 CPUs, and they brought that to me, and they're like, here, you can have this free CPU. So I said, here, Zydax, I would like for you to build a PC around this.
Right.
And so they threw together this like $10,000 rig that I game on, which is amazing. Yeah, it's awesome. But like my streaming rig, I built that. That's an AMD Threadripper, which is an amazing CPU. It's great for what I need to do for encoding. Yeah, for encoding purposes, for streaming, for doing Photoshop, for Adobe Premiere or Sony Vegas, anything that needs a lot of CPU usage, if you're going to do a lot of encoding, the Threadripper is just phenomenal. And it was really cheap. You know, for $1,000, you could get a Threadripper versus if you want to get the same thing for an Intel, you'd be paying $600-$900 more.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way on the deal of the day.
It's worked with those two. However, sometimes it's hard to know which one is going to be able to handle everything you need, but this one sounds pretty good. Threadripper.
Yeah. I was very, very happy with the Threadripper. It's a great streaming rig, but
If you'd like to see Tim's setup, by the way, everybody, you can go on to Facebook, go to his Facebook page, Darkness429. Just look that up. There is a video that Tim has posted. He walks you through his entire studio and his setup. It's pretty amazing if to see this. I mean, it is just truly beautiful setup.
I have to say, you're one of the only guys I know that streams with a GoPro. Was that a difficult thing to set up? I mean, the quality on the GoPros are always great, but how do you set
phenomenal.
That up?
It's not your norm. You know, like there's a lot of companies like Logitech and Razer that are trying to create these USB streamer specific webcams so that they have that high fidelity, but it's going through a USB interface.
Yeah.
I didn't want to sit around and wait for that because they're not perfect. They're not where they should be. But for, you know, a GoPro quality is absolutely amazing. So all I had to do is like they have a native HDMI out. Mm-hmm. If you just and so all I did is I just used a capture card from Elgato. Mm-hmm. It's their HD60S, which is a USB 3.0 USB interface. So I just plug in the HDMI out into the capture card and then the USB interface into my streaming PC. And voila, I have a $500 camera that looks the same quality as some of these broadcasters that will pay $2,000 to $3,000 camcorder to get the same quality. So, and it's also this, the tiny form factor is amazing.
Yeah, because you actually really have small. Yours mounted right in between two of your monitors. So have to keep it small.
Right, exactly. Just because I have the 6-monitor setup. If I had a 3-monitor setup, I could get a big camera that mm-hmm. would look phenomenal. But because of my setup, I've had to limit the form factor of my camera. So the GoPro works perfectly.
Now, as far as the whole experience, you've got the video, you've got great looking, you know, templates, you've got the green screen there in your studio that you've put together that you can use with OBS and the other programs.
It's not even a green screen, it's a green wall.
It's a green wall. So actually, when my wife and I built our house, I wanted to have my own streaming space. I'd always worked out of a spare bedroom. I had like this crappy green sheet that was hanging on a wall. I wanted to have that real studio setup, that real experience. So having the green wall and having all the LED backlighting to illuminate it and whatnot has been awesome, but it's not the same thing for everyone. So there are a lot of people like Elgato makes a great green screen that kind of pops up and pops back down, really small form factor. You can find green screens all over Amazon. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of different setups that you can use. But like for me, I always think I try to go over the top when it comes to my setup just because I love what I do. And I'm always trying to get better and try to up the quality. So like for me, I have a Mackie DL-806, which is a wireless mixer.
Oh.
It has the built-in compressor. It has the built-in headphone amps. It's got the audio gate on there. It's all controlled by an iPad. Do you need
what?
That?
Really?
No, you don't need that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to see that.
But yeah, I mean, so like I actually control my entire mixer interface through an iPad app.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's wild. But like, does everyone need that? No, you can use a Scarlett Red audio
interface.
See, now you're
just showing off, Tim.
Yeah, well, but that's the whole thing is like, so what I'm trying to say is what I do is completely different than what like Tommy, who just started streaming, and like everyone's like, I want to replicate your system. Like, you're going to spend a lot of money doing that. Like, let's pump the brakes, bud. Let's roll back and like, let's really see like if is this going to work out for you?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing I really want to hit on is that people who are hearing this, they are like, oh, I want to try this. You can make money doing this. This is really cool. I've seen so many people fail, which is very sad. It sucks when they put in a ton of money. They give up their job because they're so passionate about it. And passion's good. You need the passion. You need to be passionate about your mm-hmm. craft. Yeah. At the same time, you need to do it slowly and see is this really going to work out for me?
Right.
There's a ton of options out there that you can still keep. You can do a streaming on a budget. You know, mm-hmm. you can get a Logitech webcam. You can get an Elgato pop-up screen. And you can get a Scarlett Red audio interface that's for $200 that you can do the microphone XLR input. You can do line in from your gaming PC or your Xbox. There's a lot of options that are out there that you can still stream and keep a healthy budget.
Yeah. Well, your microphone, though, the audio is just as important. If the video is great and the audio sounds, you know, it's from the webcam itself and it's off mic, Your microphone does add, and you just switched mics too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so I was using the Heil PR40, which is the same microphone that Leo Laporte uses.
Yeah,
and that's how I heard about it. I heard about the Heil from Leo, and I'm like, well, if Leo Laporte's using that microphone, I'd love to use it as well, because like he makes everyone use it. Like everyone that's on his show uses a Heil PR40.
Right.
Well, now Blue came to me, and Blue is well known in the streaming universe for their Yetis. The Yeti and the Yeti Pro are very popular microphones for streamers. And they came to me and they really wanted me to check out their hardware. And so I said, I asked them, like, what is comparable to a Heil? And they said, well, the baby bottle is about as close as you're going to get. It's going to really give you a really nice warm tone. And that's something that I've always looked for, is a nice mm-hmm. warm tone to my voice. And so the Blue baby bottle's been a great microphone. So they do some really awesome things over there at Blue. Their hardware is fantastic.
It sounds great. I mean, we're listening to it.
It does.
People listening on the radio can hear it now. It's got a very warm, good feel to it. And Heil PR40s are good. I checked into them and we ended up going with the SM7Bs, but still, I just love the sound of that microphone.
Yeah, sure does a great job. Those microphones are fantastic. But a part of that also plays into the Mackie. Like my mic, but my mixer mm-hmm. is doing some compression. It's got the audio gate in there. But that's one thing that really bugs me, is when people don't pay attention to their audio. Audio is, because that's a big part of it. Yes, the visuals are great, but if your audio isn't appealing, then people are going to turn it off. Like, and that's just a natural human response, is that if something doesn't sound good to me, I don't want to listen to it. That's just, that's very normal.
Yeah.
So people forget that sometimes.
Absolutely. We're going to take another quick break. We will come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemme. You can also email us techguys@techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
And now back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, Bill Nye, the science guy here. Whenever I am listening to the radio, especially Tech Talk Radio, it's just such a party.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemme.
I'm Andy Taylor. I got to tell you, when Justin said he wanted to have our guest on, I was like, oh, that sounds like that might be kind of cool. I got to tell you, one of the best guests we've had in a long time. I'm really enjoying the discussion and finding out about some of the cool stuff that that you do. Also, we're finding out about the hardware, which has been fun.
This Facebook thing is kind of brand new. And And with all, you know, social media in the past, we've found, you know, there's going to be an end to Facebook at some point. I mean, something else is going to come along. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? Like, what is your vision for what you want to have?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, I'm not going to be able to do video gaming. For this is not going to be something I'm going to do into my 50s and 60s. You know, at some point, it's going to come to an end. So, like, I'm at this point, I'm looking at just investing. You know, bringing up other companies. There's some friends that are doing some stuff that is outside gaming, that they're using their gaming reach and just their funds to kind of invest into that. So, just doing outside projects and finding other things to be a part of is definitely very important. And I feel like a lot of streamers forget that. They will not be able to do this for the rest of their life. So you need to look into other things. But I do want to stay in the gaming world, you know, whether it's
an ambassador of some sort.
Yeah. Whether it's working with companies, helping them produce their own shows or be a part of their live streaming, you know, being able to give advice and do things like that. I don't know where I really see myself in 5 years. I really don't even know where I see myself in a year. A year ago, you could ask me that same question and I could tell you something, and then now I'm over here at Facebook. So like this world changes so quickly, it's kind of hard to say where I'll be in 5 years. I know that I will be investing and doing other things while I'm still doing this, but I really don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Fatality, you know, one of the gamers that goes way back, that's exactly what he kind of done. I don't know if he still games, but he now reps companies and comes up with hardware.
Yeah, he still streams. He still plays video games, but he's kind of taken a step back from his competitive days when he was playing Quake and Unreal Tournament. He's now been doing things with Asus, and he has his own gaming line. And like, those are things that I definitely want to be a part of and do down the road.
Yeah,
I think you get the personality. I think you could probably be picked up by a company at some point, and they're going to be like coming out with the Darkness line.
I honestly Major Nelson, Larry Major Nelson is someone that I look up to as what I would love to do with my professional career. I would like to be an ambassador of a brand of some sort. Like, he is the Xbox ambassador. He is the face of Microsoft gaming division. Yeah. I would love to be someone like that.
Well, you see, this shows how old I am. You mentioned that. I was thinking I Dream of Jeannie. Oh, I remember that guy. Yeah. Larry Hagman, right?
what's I Dream of Jeannie?
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Oh, no. Now, I have to ask, though, in the world, I'm sure you check out other streams, too. I mean, have you come across female gamers that are, you know, really good in what they do?
Yeah, no, there's a whole other space out there. It's actually very difficult for female streamers right now. The female gamer is definitely the minority at this moment. And there's definitely a big push for equality with female gamers and for them to be treated at the same level that males are.
Right.
It's unfortunate with the toxicity that is the internet. They they get harped on, you know, like they get called the boob streamers, you know, and that's unfortunate because they're not trying to exploit their bodies or anything. They're just, they're just females that are on the internet gaming.
A lot of females that love gaming.
And there's definitely some amazing female gamers that are out there that are just kicking butt and are very popular and doing very, very well. So yeah, the female streaming space is definitely very popular. They have, they have a great audience and it's going to be interesting to see like how that progresses in the next couple of years.
Okay, let's do a couple rapid fire questions to you here.
Oh, here's his rapid fire question segment.
Okay, first game ever played and how old?
Oh no, the one that comes to mind was
Etch a Sketch.
It was a Flintstone video game on the NES, and it was green and black.
For some reason,
that is still embedded in my mind. It's burned in there. I remember being like 3 or 4 years old and playing that. So
wow,
Flintstones on the NES.
Okay, favorite game of all time.
Oh, geez.
That's a tough one, man.
Halo. The original Halo. Yeah.
Okay, the original Halo. Okay, cool. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Okay, pizza or cheeseburgers?
Pizza.
Oh, okay. That's all I got.
Every gamer, it's going to be pizza. You ever dropped a tomato on your keyboard?
I had a killer hamburger last night, but man, you give me a pizza with pepperoni and pineapple on, I'm going to jump on it.
Oh, pineapple. Okay, I'm not watching you anymore. No more pineapple. You do not put fruit on a pizza.
I love that controversy. It's so good.
Now, the arrangement that is with Facebook right now, obviously, this is something that will preclude you from going and using Twitch at the same time, something you can't do.
So I am exclusively with Facebook. I did sign an exclusive contract with them. So it's a contract that says that my only live gaming content will be bound to Facebook.
Right.
Sure.
Now, can you archive and put on YouTube as well, or is this something?
No, I can most definitely upload content to YouTube. But for me, YouTube is such a weird place right now, and how their algorithm works and things like that. I've just been putting all of my eggs in one basket when it comes to Facebook. I've been really trying to grow that audience and just really trying to put all my content there for right now.
Well, we'd like our listeners to check it out. What's the best way for them to find you on Facebook?
Yeah, just facebook.com/darkness429.
Very good stuff.
There we go.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today, man.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
It was really cool. When I got that email from you, I was just like, oh, this could be a lot of fun. Let's check it out. So
I was just surprised.
Thank you for having me.
I was just surprised you responded back within like 5 minutes. I was like, I was figuring you were already in bed or whatever. And then you responded back. I'm like, oh, wow.
I'm always on my phone. I'm always working on there, whether it's tweeting or making Instagram posts or writing back on emails. So I try to be as responsive as possible.
Well, you got to do one more thing for us. You don't have to, but I'm requesting it. Okay. Can you just give me a splodes?
Splode!
Every time you kill somebody with a rocket in Fortnite, he's like, splodes!
I really got to start playing that game. That sounds
it's
like fun.
Awesome. It's a lot of fun. Now, again, they can catch you Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. Eastern to 11 Eastern, right? And so then you take a 1 hour break.
So it's 8 a.m. until noon Eastern, and then I come back at 1 p.m. and go from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. That's Monday through Friday. Saturdays is usually 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome. And again, that's facebook.com/darkness429. Once again, Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
You are very welcome. Thank you for having me.
We will be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tech talkers. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
It's not good with computers. I remain not good. Had to call up the tech support guy this week, get some help with the home computer. He starts asking me questions. What kind of operating system have you got there, sir? Electricity, I think.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor. I want to thank our guest, Darkness429, for coming on the show and talking about the world of online gaming streaming, which is becoming even bigger. I want to remind you to check out techtalkradio.com. That's our website. We have all kinds of information on there. If you missed any shows, you'll be able to find them there. Videos from our segments with KMSB Fox 11, where we show products. Now, we usually reserve this section for our website of the week. We've got a good one for you. It's really good, especially if you've been around technology for a while. Maybe you started in the Apple platform with the Apple II, the Apple IIe, or maybe you started before that. My first computer that I ever touched was actually part of a mainframe, and that's where we learned to do basic programming, the whole bit. And that would have been 1979. Then we started to see, you know, the PC become even bigger. You can get a look at some of this older technology as it came out, whether it was the old K-Pro or some of the other computers that were first seen on the market. There's a website that we found. We call it the Museum of Computers. You're going to find it at www.old-computers.com. Again, old-computers.com. That is our website of the week. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's show. We hope you'll join us next week. We'll talk more about technology. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free. We will more than likely read it on the show. Again, you'll find that at techtalkradio.com. Visit our contact page, or you can email Andy or Justin at techtalkradio.com. Have yourselves a wonderful week.